about how old Esau was whenever Jacob left. Have we talked about that? I've been gone for 2 weeks, and I'm not sure if that's been discussed. Anybody know how old Esau was whenever Jacob left? Anybody figure that out?
20 years.
Huh?
20 years.
Oh, man. That is so close, but it is so wrong, okay? All right. If you want, what did you say, Jackie? Yes, sir. He's got a question. Just a minute. I've got to talk here. Yes, sir.
I love you too.
All right. All right. That's my buddy there, okay? That's my buddy. I'll think of a Bible question in a minute, okay? All right. Yes, Jackie? You got it figured out? What?
60.
That's getting closer. That's getting closer. Okay, we'll give some clues tonight that'll help you find it, okay? We're trying to learn the Bible, and that's what this is all about. I want you to understand that the purpose of this study is not to teach Bible facts. And you've got to understand that. But faith is built upon understanding these Bible stories. If I were a teenager, how old was Joseph when he went down to the land of Egypt? Anybody know?
17.
If I were 17 years old, I would read that story of Joseph again. If I were 16, I'd read it. If I were 15, going on 17, I would read that story again and again, because here's the story about what happened to a teenager in the Bible. And you got to understand it, you know. And you know, if you're having trouble with your brother, and you got a brother like Esau, or you got a brother like Jacob, you need to know this story, and you need to know about all of the things that transpired down there in the land of in the land of Egypt, and really in throughout all of this. You've got to understand that while we talk about Bible facts, that's not the end results we're trying to get. You need to know Jesus walked on the water. You need to know that He fed 5,000 people with how many loaves and how many fishes? Five loaves and two. You need to know that. Why? Because whenever you think about that story, you've got to have all those details. You've got to have an understanding of the things that in that story. And so that's really critically important to understand this. That's the way you remember it. That's the pegs on which you put all of these things. But if your end result is, I'm just going to try to find the answers to all of these questions, you're missing what Bible study is all about. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and there look at how those Bible stories become the basis of faith. And you really, really will understand that. Now, I've been gone for 2 weeks, and I've listened to what David did. Now then, if we have anybody that's visiting with us, if you need a copy of the questions, if you'll hold up your hand, we'll try to get a copy of the questions too. If you don't have one of these blue cards, then hold up your hand. If you're visiting with us, members, you got to bring your little field manuals. You got to have those again and again. Where is the best place to put your field manual? Well, I think where's the best place to put your Bible? Let's see. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalms 119, verse 11, right? Forgot what verse it was, all right? Why do we need to study the Bible? I mean, what does the Bible do for us? Psalms 119, verse 105. Hidden. Do you think that impressed visitors this morning? I didn't do that just to impress visitors, but do you know how good that felt when this whole church quoted that verse? It had to make a real, real impact on those who are visiting with us. And we're not trying to look how great we are, but honestly, you got to understand, when the Bible said, you know, your word's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, that's important, you know. And where's that found, by the way? Don't look down. Where's that found? Psalm 119, verse 105. You got that, all right? And that's really, really important, okay? Now then, we'll just take up with the matter of Joseph, okay? I know that David talked a lot about it, but I want us to see how close we can get to finishing the book of Genesis tonight. We've been through it, but I'd like for us to get over here and put a peg down over here at the end of it. If we can tonight, I don't know how far we'll get. But Joseph is sold by his brother. And he sold for how many pieces of silver? I know David asked this last week. 20 pieces. How much? Who's worth the most, Jesus or Joseph? Jesus. How much you get for Jesus? 30 pieces of silver. Joseph's not worth as much. How much you get for Joseph? 20 pieces of silver. David said, I just don't know how to remember that. Well, I don't either. And I got to thinking all week and spent 2 weeks trying to figure out a way to remember that. And that's just the way I knew that. I knew was one's 30 and the other 20. And so that may be a good way to remember it. Now then, Joseph goes down in the land of Egypt. How old is Joseph when he goes down the land of Egypt?
17.
He's 17. Now then, he's down there in the land of Egypt. We're not going to spend a lot of time talking about it. But the story of him being down in the land of Egypt, there's a time stamp that becomes visible whenever Joseph is brought before the Pharaoh. How many years is it from the time that Joseph, at 17 years of age, is sold by his brothers down into the land of Egypt until the time that he stands before Pharaoh? Anybody remember that number? He's 30. So it's been 13 years in that period of time. A lot of things are transpiring in his life. You know, he's been the servant there in Potiphar's house, and his Potiphar's wife lies about him and accuses him of molesting her, and Joseph's cast down to the land of into the prison, and he interprets the dream of the butler and the baker. The candlestick maker was not there, and so but he interprets those two dreams, and then finally Pharaoh himself has a dream, and there are two things in Pharaoh's dream. There's a group of animals. What's the animals?
Cows.
How many of them? Well, seven fat ones and seven skinny ones. And so he has this dream of these seven fat cows coming out of the river. And the skinny cows ate the fat cows. Harrison, did you know that? I'm glad that you know that story. And he saw these seven cows come out of the river, and then seven skinny cows came and ate them. But they didn't get any fatter. And then he had a second dream, and this time it's about what? All right. It's what?
It's a corn.
It's a corn, right? Thank you, Melon. Thank you so much, Holly. And he has a dream about the corn. And how many ears of corn was there?
Seven.
All right. And were they good corn or bad corn?
Bad corn.
Bad corns. Which ones ate the good corn, eat the bad corn, or the bad corn eat the good corn? Do you remember? Seven skinny cows ate the fat cows, and the seven skinny corns ate the seven fat corns, right? That's really, really good. Folks, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Parents, you got to do this. Grandparents, you got to do this. He will never, ever, ever remember. He's known this story all of his life. I think I may have told you that, you know, your parents tell you about when you were little, you did this and you did that. I really thought I had killed a giant. I honestly thought when they talked about David, and my name's David Daniel, and when they talked about David killing the giant, I not only had killed the giant, I had been in the lion's den. I couldn't remember it, but my mom and dad told me when you were little, these things happened. I just put it in that same category. And it's amazing. I don't ever remember that story, but I remember smelling the breath of those lions down in the den. I mean, it was just that's how real this is. That's how real this is. And then he interprets the dream for the Pharaoh, and he says the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears of corn. The King James says corn, by the way. In your mind, you've got to change that. Corn is an American product. It's when the pilgrims arrived here. That's where the maize was discovered. And so whenever the British use the word corn, it's a generic term for all grains. And so barley would be corn, and wheat would be corn, and you know, any kind of grain would be corn. And so if, Chad, in your mind when you hear about the seven ears of corn, Don't you think of the corn, popcorn. Don't think of popcorn, or don't think of this sweet corn they've got here in Florida. It's not that. It's not popcorn. It's wheat. It's likely wheat was that was down there. And so in your mind, when you read about seven good ears of corn, you got to get the British mind, and that is the wheat. Seven stalks of wheat, evidently, and seven stalks of bad wheat that's there. What's the meaning of it? Well, nobody's able to figure it out. But then, you remember the butler, the cupbearer to the king, says, "Oh, yeah, there's a man in prison who interpreted my dream." How long before the time that Pharaoh has his dream, what is the time interval from the time he had the dream until the time interval that the butler had his dream? The butler had his first, the cupbearer had his first, and somebody's got the right answers. Way to go. And somebody else has the right answers. 2 years. So Joseph is 28 years of age. And that cupbearer says, "Yeah, I'll remember you when I get back serving the king." And for 2 years, nothing happens. And finally, 30-year-old Joseph stands before Pharaoh and interprets the dream. Now, the dream is obvious. The meaning of the dream is obvious to us, and that is there was seven fat cows and seven good ears of corn, which means there will be a bountiful harvest for 7 years. That will be immediately followed by a famine of 7 years. And so Pharaoh, because of the advice given to him by Joseph, gathers in during that bountiful 7 years, gathers in an overabundance of grain. Now Joseph is in Egypt. His brothers are up there in Palestine. They run out of grain. The famine that is in Egypt is also up there in Palestine. And so they've got enough for the first year. They don't know a famine is coming. In the second year, they go down to the land of Egypt to buy grain. How many of them go? All of them? Which one does not go? Is that a good question? Benjamin cannot go. That's what Jacob said. Sometimes we got to understand that the word cannot means not impossible, but you can't afford it. I just can't, I cannot give up Benjamin. I've given up Joseph, and I cannot give up Benjamin. He cannot go. And so when the Bible says that the child of God cannot sin, that doesn't mean it's impossible for him to sin. But you cannot sin. The consequence of it is too great. And some individuals trying to talk about the impossibility of apostasy have read that over in 1 John chapter 3. They said he that's born of God cannot sin. He cannot. Doesn't mean it's impossible for him to do it, but he just cannot do it. And it's like Jacob said about his son Benjamin. He cannot go, but he does on that second trip. Now, whenever they're there, they do not recognize Joseph. In fact, he looks evidently like an Egyptian, and he would after all of that time. He's a teenager that in his teen years is taken from one country and placed in another country, and for sure they never expected him to be in charge. Whenever they leave, he's found out about them. What does he give to them? He gives them their money back. Wonder why he did that. He knows something they don't know. He knows there's still a famine. He knows there are 5 more years of that famine. He knows how much grain they've got. But if they get back up there and they don't have any money, they won't be coming back. So he makes it not only, he understands that they're going to come back, he makes it absolutely possible for them to come back because he gives them their money the second time. And the second time, they bring Benjamin. And on this second time, whenever they leave, there's something new that's placed in one of the bags of one of those sons. Anybody remember what it was? It's Joseph's cup. It's Joseph's cup. And there are all sort of things in the background of this story. You know, they have that feast and Joseph sets them by age. You know, the oldest one here and just all the way down. And when Benjamin's there, by the way, he gives Benjamin a double portion, doesn't he? Oh, you read that story? That cup is called a cup of divination. What's that all about? Cup of divination, a divining cup. Fortune teller. You ever read tea leaves? You understand that concept? Biblical times, there were different ways they would do this, that they would look into the cup and get a reading. I wonder if his brothers thought that's how he's figured all this out. I wonder if that's what's in their mind, you know, in reference to that cup of divination. Because he surprised them again and again in the things. And you gotta read it carefully. I don't want to get to the details and everything. Finally though, Joseph says, "I am your brother." Now then, how much older is Joseph? How much older are Joseph's brothers than Joseph? Let's see if we can work it out. Jacob leaves and he goes over, we're backing up now. Jacob leaves running away from Esau. Now, Esau's a pretty old man, right, Novell? He's at least 40. Why? Because he's 40 when he marries. And so, he's at least 40. And so Esau is at least 40. And so now, here Jacob is leaving. And he's going over. And he gets over to that land and he sees this beautiful woman. Does he marry her immediately? No. He marries her 7 years later. All right, you got that? He works 7 years. So he's been there 7 years and he marries her. 7 years later, he's got the first wife. How soon does he get a second wife? 1 week, he gets a second wife. Now, he has her on credit. He buys her on credit. You guys understand that by any means? I mean, you don't know what, you wouldn't understand what that's all about. But he buys her on credit. Now then, that's when the boys start to be born. The boys start to be born. Now, how long is Joseph over there? Well, he's there 7 years plus 7 years plus how many more years? How many years does he work to get possession? After he's been there 14 years, how many years does he work to get the possessions? 6 more years. The last year that Joseph is there, pardon me, the last year that Jacob is there is the year Joseph is born. You want to file that one away? The last years that he's there. So he's been over there 20 years and he's ready to leave, and that's when Joseph is born. I'm trying to help you figure out how old all of this was in as you study that story. Now then, go down to the land of Egypt. Joseph tells Pharaoh, "These are my brothers. I want to bring my father down here." And so Joseph moves Jacob back down to the land of Egypt. And when you get to the end of the book of Genesis, that's about what's happened. The famine is over. They're enjoying the bounty of that land, of the harvest that they're there. And they're there living in a special part of the land called the land of what? Land of Goshen. You ever hear that as a slang term? People used it years ago. People today, if you used it, wouldn't have a clue what you were talking about. But based on a biblical event. They live over there because they take care of cattle. Because of their occupation. And the Israelite, or the Egyptian, don't want to have anything to do with them. And so there is that natural segregation of the two nations by occupation. And so here they are over there in the land of Egypt, multiplying and multiplying so much that when you get to the next book, you read about a multitude of individuals. Now the question is, how old is Jacob when he goes down in the land of Egypt? Jacob tells you. You read Genesis 48 and 49. Jacob talking to Pharaoh tells you how old he was when he went down there. I'm 130 years old. And he lived 17 more years. Somebody check the numbers if I'm not mistaken. He dies at 137 or 147? 137? Hand me your Bible. I had that in my head, read it just right before class, and maybe I have to find it in my Bible. The days of my sojourning, he says. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the length of his life's 147 years. So he's 130 years old. He's 130 years old. When he go down to the land of Egypt, he's 130 years old. How old is Joseph? He's 30 plus 7 plus 2 years of famine. He's 39 years old. How old was Jacob when Joseph was born? 130 minus 39 is how much? 91. Well, now let's see. How long was he over there before Joseph was born? 20 years. So he was 71 years of age, if I've done the math right. Whenever Jacob fooled Esau, he's 70 plus years of age. Isn't that amazing? Sunday school pictures, he's a little teenage boy. Ever our pictures in our Sunday school, you know, of Jacob coming in before Esau and everything, just two little kids there. Now, if he was 40 when he's married, how long's he been married? How long's Esau been married? 31 years. He'd been married a long time. It's not just two little boys. I just find that interesting. And that does, you don't have to know that to go to heaven at all. I just find that an interesting way to get in the Bible and get insight into things. Do the math. I may have missed it. You may want to figure it out. But that's a way of figuring all of that out. Now then, we have gotten the children of Israel down into the land of Egypt. As we think about the outline of the Bible, go back to that white card. Go back to those 15 years of Bible history. What are of 15 periods of Bible history? What's that first period? It's the creation. Now, key chapters, where in the Bible am I going to read about the creation? In Genesis 1 and 2, right? That's where I'm going to read about the creation. You want to try to figure this out? What's the second thing in that 15 periods of Bible history? That's the flood. Now, whereabouts in the book of Genesis am I going to read about the flood? Genesis chapter 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. What's the third period of Bible history? The patriarchs. Now, can you name me three patriarchs? Do you know that, Harrison? Would you stand up so I could see if you know them? How about standing up on the pew, okay? You're not allowed to do this, okay? All right, the three patriarchs. You know their names? Is the first one Abraham?
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's the second one?
Jacob.
And what's the other one?
Isaac.
All right. That's great. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Chad, you know that?
Yeah.
Now who's the... All right. And I don't know why I pick on Harrison. It's because he's so available. But that, I just think it's great that you can learn it. And so when we talk about these periods of Bible history, that's why they're important. What's the story of the Bible? It's the story of the creation. It's the story of the flood. It's the story of the patriarchs, of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Now, what's the fourth period of Bible history? Egyptian bondage. Isn't that what we're reading about those Israelites getting down into the land of Egypt? And what we need to do is to get an overview of the story of the Bible, because it's in all of these events that you keep running across these prophecies in the Bible. How many prophecies about Jesus are there in the Bible? 332 prophecies. Where's the first promise found about the coming of Jesus? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Do you see why on this blue card? Do you understand why we've got, as far as key locations, we've got the first prophecy about Christ? Genesis 3:15. We haven't just arbitrarily tried to make up a bunch of stuff to try to, you know. That's important to know where that first prophecy is. It's really critically important. Whereabouts do I first read about God breathing into man the breath of life? Where's that found? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. See, if you'll memorize that, then you'll know where the creation story is. And you'll know those key chapters that are there. And then there's the promise made to the patriarchs. I'll make of you a great nation. Three greats here. I'll put the great nation where? In a great land. And someday I will send a great Savior. In thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, let's pray that this doesn't happen. But you know what happened in the war in Vietnam when those guys were taken prisoners? You know how many Bibles they had? Do you know what Bibles they had access to? They had none. So we hear all of these soldiers in the prison camps trying to recreate the Bible. Now, if you ever find yourself in circumstances like that, you need to recreate the Bible. Tell me the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is made up of Bible stories. Where do I learn about sin? What Bible story? The creation. Where do I learn about God's judgment of sin? Whereabouts, what Bible story shows me how God feels about sin? Now, there are a lot of them, but which one jumps out at you that shows you about God's judgment of sin? It's the flood. Now, you can talk about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but if you really want to see it, just go look at the flood. Whereabouts in the Bible do I learn about God making a great nation so He could send a great Savior? Well, that's in the story of those patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And that's why you need to know those stories. You don't need to know how old this one was and how old that one was and all the rest. That's just sort of icing on the cake to cause you to get in there and to look at it. Now, we have arrived at the end of the book of Genesis. And we're ready to head into the book of Exodus. Now, the Lord said to Abraham, when your descendants get down there into the land of Egypt, they're going to be there for 400 years. Now, there's a verse in the book of Exodus and that tells, and it's on the card, by the way, if I'm not mistaken, one of the key verses, that tells exactly how long they were down in the land of Egypt. To the very self-same day, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 40 says that from the entrance of those individuals down in the land of Egypt to the Exodus in the book of Exodus, 430 years, to the very day. And that's where we're headed. What have we left out, David? What do we need? Anything in Genesis that we haven't talked about? Yes, Tommy. Jacob wrestling with the angel, right? Yes. How do we know that Jacob wrestled with the angel? It's over in the book of Hosea. I believe it's in chapter 12. It's in chapter 12 that said, he prevailed with the angels. David, is it 12:4? 12:3 and 4? When you read the book of Genesis, there Jacob wrestles with an angel, and he says, you've got to bless me before I'll let you go. It's about to be daylight. And he blesses him, by the way, by changing his name. That's interesting. That's where he gets his name. But we talk about Jacob wrestling with the angel. Now then, here's your next assignment. I want you to find the verse in the Bible that talks about the death angel going over whenever the firstborn were killed. So that's your assignment, because we've heard all of our life about that death angel going down in the Exodus, when the death of the firstborn. I want you to find the verse that talks about the angel that comes through the land of Egypt killing all of those people that's there. All right, you cannot allowed to say anything, Joe. You're not. Okay, ask me a question. I thought you was going to give an answer, okay?
Of the 430 years they were in Egypt, how many were they slaves?
Have no idea. Until another generation arose that knew not Joseph. I have no idea how long it was before that king came up. But that's great. Is this my book? God is so good. Isn't this amazing? I thought I'd lost $20 a month ago. Look what I just found, Harrison. You ought to check your book and see what you got in it. You got anything in your book? Huh? Wait a minute. You got something in your ear right here. There it is, right there. Well, that is good. All right. Don't you put that back in your ear. My boys used to come to me and say, Daddy, I've lost my football. Would you see if it's in my ear? I've lost my football. Well, we need to have some time for our cornerstone meetings. We didn't have any drill time tonight. We'll have that next week. We'll spend a lot of time reviewing all of this. But let me give you something to specialize in between now and then. And that is, in our drill time next week, we're going to drill on the matter of key chapters in the book of Genesis, key locations in the book of Genesis, and memory verses in the book of Genesis. We're not just going to go through the facts about, you know, how long was the ark or all of this other thing. Spend some time this week looking at this key chapters in the book of Genesis. That's not some arbitrary listing that's here. When we took the prophet card and made the prophet card, we thought, if in the entry level of knowing what's in the book of Genesis, I need to know where the creation is and where the sin is, and I need to know where the flood is, where the promise is made to Abraham, and where the sacrifice of Isaac is, and I need to know about where Joseph was sold by his brothers down in the land of Egypt. We'll only do the Genesis. We won't get over to the Exodus part of it, but keep doing that. Now, the quiz is available on the website. Just come if you feel confident and ready to come and do the quiz. And so please be aware that it's there on the website. If you want to take it on paper, you don't have to come to the website. The questions are out there over in that Bible Center as I'm standing here over on the right, on your left. But on your right as you leave tonight, those things are there. Those quizzes on the prophet card on the book of on Genesis and Exodus. We haven't covered Exodus, but we'll be having a Medal of Honor Sunday coming up very soon, which we'll be recognizing those who have made the trip in relationship to that. Now, if you still are back over here and you're still studying the white cards, that's wonderful. I'm glad. And don't think that we're in any rush. We're not in any contest with each other to see who can get all the answers in there first. If that's it, we got a wrong motivation. But if it's, you know, the only distance you've made is on the profit card and the white card, then why not spend some time and get up to the next level? And spend the time getting up to the next level of those white cards, because they're the simpler cards and everything. And Harrison, you've got the card. You've got the tag, right? You got the white tag. And if I'm not mistaken, you've got a red thing around your white tag, do you not?
No, blue.
You've got a blue one? Wow-wee. I bet you're going to get a purple one someday, right? I hope you do too. All right, wish you could see his eyes sparkling. Folks, we're not trying to learn facts. We're trying to build faith. That's what it's all about.